Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Welcome to episode 420 of Fourth and John. I'm Gale Saunders here with Tim Kincaid. It's an impromptu podcast, but obviously, if you guys have been monitoring socials, you're seeing the news of two legends. I'm calling them legends. LeSean McCoy and DeSean Jackson. On their 25-10 podcast, they pretty much spill the beans about their experience with Chip Kelly. I think it's been a long time in the making. I've been waiting to hear DeSean Jackson's side of the story. Obviously, he kind of said he kept it close to the vest since he was in the league. Didn't want to ruin his, his standing with the league, and he just kept it to the vest. But today, he really did. I thought it was a therapeutic for him to get that off his chest. I thought LeSean McCoy was definitely transparent in the way that he, was feeling. I think, for the fan base in general, there's younger Eagle fans. I still feel like if you were that young back then, you don't really realize what happened or transpired. I'm like, am I that old? But I do remember that when the story dropped, and when Elliot Shore Parks dropped that article on NJ.com, it was a big thing. It was a big deal. It was on ESPN. It was everywhere. And I felt like being one of my favorite players out here, just getting thrown to the streets for absolutely nothing. It was a wild turn of events, but shout out to everybody in the chat, but shout out to you, Tim. How were you feeling, your initial reactions after watching that
podcast? They didn't hold back. I enjoyed that podcast because, like you said, very therapeutic. Got to see the machine behind the curtain of like what transpired and what took place, because D-Jack was our favorite player. Let's be honest. Everybody had a number 10 jersey. What was the movie with Bradley Cooper? The dancing?
Silver Lining Playbook.
Yeah, Silver Lining Playbook. And, when you remember he came there with the jersey? He had the jersey on. He said, oh, man, that's cool. You got a DeSean Jackson jersey? He goes like, yeah, DeSean's the man. You know what I'm saying? Like, because DeSean was the man. It hurt seeing like him saying how he was released, he never got his chance to say his goodbye. The part that really got me was when he said he signed a 4-year $51 million, and they was going to pay him after that the next
3 year 30
3 year okay it's 3 year $50 million. And the next year, he's going to get 30 mil. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, 30 mil. So he was going to get 10 and then another 10. And that, and then he ended up not getting that deal and then had to go to Washington and take $6 million off the table. So he lost money. And what is the number one thing that players always tell you, especially the OGs? Protect the chicken. And the chicken is your cash, your money, the guap, bread, you know, everything. That's how you feed your family. Hmm. And that stung me. I was like, wow. Just to listen to them, that, yeah, we see them as players, but they're people too. They have problems just like we do too, off the field. And when they both explain that, like, I was like, damn, like, we take advantage of our birds. And it's all heartfelt. We love the birds, right? And shout out to D-Jack, man, because he said what he needed to say, because, you know, he said he's going to come back to Philly and kill us. And he said, it wasn't meant for you, Philly fans.
Yeah.
It was for Chip. So shout out to
shout out to DeSean Jackson. This is the Silver Linings Playbook jersey, the Reebok John. But you know, I'm just saying in general, that experience of him coming back in a Washington uniform. I was there at the game, and I remember when he stepped on the field and the crowd was going, you know, the crowd let him have it in Philly like fashion. They booed him. And I actually recorded it. And then I remember his mom. Shout out to Gail Jackson. Same name.
Shout out to mom, dude.
Same name. You know, I've always followed his mom. We talk back and forth about the Eagles periodically. But this moment in time, I just put it out there. Not that I was throwing venom or anything. I was just showing what was going on at the stadium at the time. And she like quote tweeted and she made a comment and, but you know, I was like, you know, I'm not saying it. I let her know that no, I didn't mean any harm by that. I was just, documenting it, but I felt like
you're basically just showing the audience of what the lens that you have, what was going on.
Yeah. It was a tough scene. Like I was there the day when LeSean McCoy came back and, he kissed the middle of the 50 yard line. And Lurie was out there too, so it was a very touching moment. But people in the comments, shout out to all you people in the comments. You know, I think people are actually checking in and watching that episode. Wicked One says that D-Jack and Shady Talk was much, much needed. That stale Chip Kelly killed the real dream team. Joseph says, I just listened to the whole episode while I was at work. You have no idea how pissed off I was at Chip Kelly. Go Birds. Peasy, shout out to Tim Perkins and Todd. I think it was very therapeutic for me. Like, I just remember how I was feeling at the time. And I mean, to anyone who's out here just minimizing what these two guys did for that team, whether that team in there's a period in time where Andy Reid, his son had passed away. I was at Lehigh the day that his son passed away. There was a lot of stuff going on with that football team. There was a lot of stuff going on with the defensive side of the ball, where we had guys like Juan Castillo as a defensive coordinator. It was just ups and downs. Like, the Andy Reid we have today is a more refined Andy Reid. The Andy Reid back then, he was dealing with a lot. And I think in terms of how LeSean and DeSean spoke of Andy Reid in high regard, they didn't let them get away with anything or murder like that. But they just felt that the transition from Andy Reid to Chip Kelly was a little much, I guess, for them.
Oh, for sure. I mean, one day you go being treated like grown men and being responsible adults to and, you know, millionaires. You're trying to talk to millionaires like that. Then the next thing, you know, you got a college coach talking about you need to wear a heart monitor and piss in a cup. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not going to work. That's not going to work well. Like, I don't know. And that was the biggest problem. It's because he was coming from college, and you can go and talk to them young kids like that because it's, oh, get out of my face, I can replace you. This is the NFL. You can't replace those guys because they're under contract. Or, you know, these guys mean so much to the city. Like, it's crazy what Chip did, man. How'd you feel about that whole era, though? Like, was that like an era for you? Like, okay, like oh, like, was you excited? Because I'm being honest with you, I was.
No, I mean, I was excited for something new and something fresh. And, you know, I read up on Chip Kelly, did a lot of study on Chip Kelly and his offense. And the weird thing about it is my high school teammate, shout out to Sean Devine, he was actually the best man at Chip Kelly's wedding. He coached with Chip Kelly up in
Oregon?
New Hampshire.
Oh, okay.
New Hampshire.
Before Chip.
So, yeah. So he ended up, I thought he was going to get the job with the Eagles, a coaching job with the Eagles. He ended up getting a job coaching University of Delaware. But I've always, it's not like we were super close like that for me to be. Right. I always wanted to be like, hey, what happened with Chip Kelly or how did you?
Right.
But he had coached with him a long time. I mean, the fact that he was the best man at his wedding kind of tells you how close they were. I just think that whole thing where Chip Kelly was talking about how they were just kind of like you roll into a new environment and you have all pros and you have Shady who put up a crazy season the year before. You just can't go into an environment, look guys like Jason Peters in the face and say, we don't have any stars out here. Like,
yeah.
You got to know where your bread is buttered. And those guys were buttering the bread. Those guys were great players. And I mean, it could be argued if they had the potential of being a Super Bowl team, but I think they had the right pieces in play. I mean, we did see that opening game where they dropped how many points on Washington?
Oh, that game was so dope. I remember that like yesterday. That game was so dope. I remember the first thing out of the – I think it was the first play out of the drop, bomb to D-Jack and touchdown. Like,
that was amazing.
I don't understand that whole situation. There were some things as – you know, you and I played collegiate ball, right? Have you ever had a coach – talk to his assistants or his little mini-me's to tell you to do something? Hey, pull your pants up. Hey, cut your hair. Or like, no, your coach is supposed to have a face-to-face interaction with you because your coach is like your second dad. You're going off to college. Your parents are sending you. That's what my mom was super scared for me when I had to go play college ball because my mom was my, like, you know, I ain't gonna talk about my past. That's why I'm moving from Philly to Jersey, to Phoenix or Arizona. But my mom has so much trust in my coach that my coach was like a second dad to me. And so when I see that just tells me, or hearing these stories from Chip, Chip is just not he's not a guy. He's not a guy of like men. He's not. You can't leave that way.
I mean, I think he came from he got a lot of power early to get GM. Rights over a guy like thinking about over a guy like Howie as we think about Howie where he's at right now right. For the fact that he got that power early on was kind of crazy. I mean, talking about a coach, I mean, I had a coach who wouldn't allow me to have a goatee. So I tried to step on the field and I thought it was just a joke. Shout out to Coach Servino. He said anyone with, you know, not clean shaven is not playing. So I'm a freshman. Like I just had broke a record for catches in the game. I'm like, I'm feeling myself. I'm like, all right, I'm good. Mm-hmm. I get on about to set foot on the field and he sees that I've had the goatee
little
forever.
Peach
He took my position coach. My position coach is basically almost in tears. Coach LaPolice. He's a coach CFL right now. He brought me in the locker room. Shave my goatee off
in the middle of the game.
Look at this. Shave.
Oh my god!
So I was like, he's never gonna. Coach not gonna see me with this. So he shaved my goatee off.
You got a chin straight
right before the game. I couldn't play until I shaved the goatee off. I was like, this wild.
Do you feel like it's a little bit of like a control freak, or is it a little bit more of like, I need to have power, that I need to move my weight around and show these guys who I am?
I think coaches want to have their way, you know, and just kind of like set the foundation for the team. But again, this is not college. This is the pros, where guys are treated like men. The fact that you told LeSean you couldn't wear black socks. I brought that shit. I mean, you know, not like we're swag police over here, but bro, you get tatted up. Yeah, you know, you get your cleats spatted up. Everything has a place. You can tell someone you can't have black socks.
That's crazy.
I had my shits like Marshawn Faulk. Marshall Faulk.
Yeah.
All spatted out, all blacked out. It's a thing. Like, so to tell your all pro running back who just put up the best season of his career that he has to wear white socks. It's a stupid thing, but I don't know.
What blows my mind is he comes from Oregon, where they have like 85 combination uniforms. You know what I'm saying? Like that's what it comes from. Is like, yeah, you're right. Like it, you know, it's a little bit of self control and self indulging in yourself and being like, I'm the man. And what really shocked me was what he said. I think he said Rex Ryan's brother. Was it
Rex Ryan?
Rex Ryan. Okay, so Rex Ryan goes, yeah. So you guys want Shady? He goes, all right, let me call you back. Hey, yeah, what do you want? Well, Kiko Alonso. And who? Nobody else. Oh, done deal. Click. Like, come on.
Yeah. Shady's like, he's like, you know, Chip Kelly shipped him out there to die. He's like, you know, Buffalo is not like, you know, they were getting primetime games like that when I got sent out there. I remember Kiko Alonso, that one catch. That one interception, everyone was living off that. Everyone was like, yo, he's going to be like that? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Michael talks about that Monday night game where we trounced their ass with Vic. What a game. I'll never forget that night. That was a crazy game. Michael also mentions the miracle at Meadowlands 2. I went to do my laundry. That game was over, and we took off one. So, like, to say that, you know, some people I heard saying that, like, Deshaun Jackson's not a legend. I mean, that play is like, you know, that play is like legendary. Like this sits in my office. Like these are legendary moments. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we know it didn't work out and get a Super Bowl, but these are legendary moments that you can't minimize. You're going to tell me that a guy, most explosive plays in the NFL over Jerry Rice, that doesn't speak legendary to
you? You know what? I think for a lot of guys that are taking this take, basically saying that how they're legends and we didn't do anything in those days, you got to remember, we were coming over a rebuild. You remember? 2004, we're in the Super Bowl. McNabb's blowing chunkies on the field, and it was rebuild mode. We traded. Remember Easter? It was Easter. We traded McNabb. You know, the whole crazy thing, DRC, all that. But we were going through rebuild there, and we were getting there. We were getting there slowly but surely. And those were some of the golden days of the Philadelphia Eagles. When I remember when D-Jack, I think it was his rookie year, he caught the ball and let it go at the goal line.
Yeah.
I mean, those, yes, and I get it. And he did speak on that. He basically said that
B-Dog.
Wolverine, he said, he didn't even say B-Dog. He said Wolverine got after him.
He said he cussed me out without cussing.
He don't even cuss. That's what I said. Wolverine came out.
I mean, he talked about that culture, and I think, yeah, those moments of like, you know, even moving on from a B-Doc, which is crazy, just taking that culture out of the locker room. That team, while they didn't win much, like in terms of like, they had opportunities, they were close. right? They were close.
That championship.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm saying the year where when they lost to Arizona.
Yeah, that's the NCAA championship.
Yeah, that was that was painful. But
I was there. I was there.
Oh, you were there? Okay.
I was at that game. Yes.
And wow. That catch Larry Fitzgerald had over. And I was like, and then it was like B-Doc was like, "Where's B-Doc?" I really don't recall many negative plays from B-Doc at all.
Me neither. No.
I mean, there's some, but I'm just saying that was the one that you were like, okay. And the cool tone says Jay Peters was right. He robbed us of potential Super Bowls. The fact that he tried to replace players like, you know, Jeremy Maclin got out the building, but I'm just saying like you had Riley Cooper after the N-word incident and then gave him a contract. Like, I don't know. I don't know if there's a disconnect with some Eagle fans on the timeline about the way he handled that. And then he said that Chip Kelly didn't allow Riley Cooper an opportunity to see everybody for a week. Right. I guess, you know, LaShawn was like, I want to figure out where he's at. Cause he's like, Riley Cooper's my boy. Like, I didn't know if he was, I didn't feel he was racist, but from the optics of it, you know, like for other people, players out here getting cut for other reasons, the fact that he got a contract on top of that, and the way that Deshaun was like thrown to the wolves after that article dropped.
And the pitcher the pitcher painted everything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was everywhere.
Yeah, the pitcher painted everything.
So he basically, if you guys didn't watch the interview, Deshaun Jackson had said that he had a picture that he had posted on socials that media took, and his boy, who was up for a murder case, he grew up with the guy. So he helped him get a lawyer, and then he actually beat the case. So they were picking him up from, you know, he just got out of prison. So they took a photo when he got out of prison because he was innocent. They took that photo and ran with it. And the fact that, you know, I remember to this day, man, like I remember reading it and then being in shock and all. And then it blew up all over social media. Yeah. And then, and somebody, like, the funny thing is, it's like some of the people on the timeline, I'm like, damn, how old am I? Because I remember that clearly. Wow. I remember that clearly that day. Right. I mean, again, with age comes wisdom. But Joseph says, when I heard about Dick did more crying than what he did in prison for the dog fighting stuff, that, you know, there's a problem in the locker room.
It's bizarre. I think for the most part was, and I've heard Vic talk several times about the whole incident between him not being happy, crying. Was this because he stood up for Riley Cooper? He didn't want the locker room to be divided. He did the proper things that an NFL quarterback captain on his number 7 jersey was supposed to do. And this was the things that Michael Vick got. Hey, nobody's a starter. Y'all gonna have to run laps. All right, we get one rep. They're gonna get one rep. Because you know how it is when you're a starter, you get 4 reps. Okay, all right, now let's get the backups and starter. Let's get some reps. They'll get like 1 or 2. All right, starters, you're back in. Like, how do you even run a program like that? You can't run a program like that.
It's crazy. Joe calling me Will Smith. Fresh Prince of Bel Air. Yeah, I mean, look, the hair was nice.
He looks like Timberland, bro.
shout out,
like the dude off Men in Black.
Shout out to Marissa in the building. Yeah, Joseph talks about the punt return. He said it was was me going wild, and my sister's ex boyfriend, Giants fan, stormed out of the room trying not to. I actually watched that game with a Giants fan, so that was
That was
a great moment. It's a great moment. Yeah, great moment. Now, David says, imagine replacing Jackson, Shady, and Macklin with Oregon players. Jeffrey Mail. I don't know if you go – if you, I was going to find an image of him, but he had the Bieber jaw. He looked like a skater dude. From his time at Oregon, he was a player there. But the fact that he brought Josh Huff in, he brought in Aguilar, he brought in Jordan Matthews. That receiver room was nothing to. After Macklin and Deshaun, just was not the same.
I think the part that really killed me was Shady's story when he said he went up to the front office and talked to Chip and said, Chip, how are you going to replace DJ? He said, don't worry about it. I got you. And they was like, he said, Jordan Matthews. Nah. They kept on going through a couple of guys that were like, he's like, these guys were cool, but they couldn't play. Oh, man. It was a tough time, bro.
Yeah, it was a tough time. David says, I remember the news on DJX playing him to be a gangster. What I didn't realize was how it ruined his career. I mean, he lost $6 million. I mean, just think about someone taking $6 million from you off of a. My thing is, I think I don't know if that article was a hit piece in terms of as a PR move where it softened the blow, where you could use this as again the way that players and agents use the media is the same way that the team also uses the media. So I'm not saying, I don't know who was behind it. Like, we all know ESP wrote that article, but who gave ESP the story? I don't know. Like, in real talk, it's one of those stories that people wanted to know why, and why no one spoke about it, and why Deshaun Jackson actually came back to the Eagles and it still was never talked about. So I felt like that always was always a weird thing. Like, I was like, why is no one talking about this? Like, or why has no one ever, is nosy as Eagles media has always been, why was that never brought up? Was that a question that our beat writers were told that don't ask it, because the Jeff McClains of the world are quick to ask questions. So if the Eagles, when DJX came back, they said, do not ask this question. Were they directed not to ask that question because they didn't want any drama? But it was just very interesting.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it followed them, bro. It followed them to the point where the GM of the Bills asked LeSean, hey, LeSean, we want to get this guy, but we kind of want DJ. How is he? Because I heard some things about him when he's back in Philly. That haunted him. That killed, it was a buzzkill to his career.
I mean, it was. I mean, he talked about, before athletes were actually doing like content, Deshaun Jackson actually had a documentary that his brother Byron, who was actually a filmmaker, they actually did a whole story of Deshaun's upbringing. His father, who I believe had pancreatic cancer at one point, and just how he built that drive in those guys. So obviously, he said he came from, he knew these guys in the hood. He grew up with a lot of these guys in the hood. He's like, does that mean that I'm a gangster? Like, I grew up playing football with these guys. But I do know that, you know, I've heard from other players talking about the entourage that he's like, you know, I was young back then. But I would take care of my guys. But perception, I don't know what, you know, the perception of that. I don't know if that made them feel. The perception of DJX, because he had jackpot records at one point. But it's interesting, man. But shout out to Primo, and shout out to Evan, shout out to Hollis out there. I would love to hear Hollis's point on what that was like. We'll have to get that from him. Shout out to Chase is in the building, checking in. Shout out to Chase. Always got the swaggy Avi going on. 2020 says that article brought ESP to the limelight, made it famous. It's, you know, because the thing is, like, you know, doing content and being for the last, I'd say, 14 years or whatever, you see people. I remember when ESP was the intern working with Gary Cobb back in the day. At that time, I would see, you know, my girl's father was a driver for the Eagles at the Lehigh. So I got a – he gave us a lot of access during those D-Jack, LeSean years, being on the sidelines. And it was a great experience, that great ride at Lehigh. If you guys have never experienced Lehigh, that moment that T.O. came to the team, it was a crazy – talk about rock star moment. That was kind of crazy. But Sammy Sleeves was brought up in that interview. I still didn't make sense.
No. No. None of the moves made sense. None of them did. Like, none of them did. Like, DeMarco Murray, that move made no sense. Like, and then you try to run the ball east to west instead of just running downhill, down south. And then think about it. They brought two running backs for one, and they could have paid, and they paid, I think Shady was getting like what, 13, 10, somewhere in that. They paid two running backs that same amount, and they couldn't even do the job.
Ryan Matthews, DeMarco Murray. Yeah. So it was a wild ride, man. Wild ride, man. And there's people that were, oh God, that was awful, man. I remember watching the game, and Sam Bradford's mom was going off. She would say, "Sammy," and like she would clap her hands, and mm-hmm. everyone was like, "Who was rooting for Sam Bradford?" And you know, you're looking around the stadium, and it was his mom. So people in the crowd are like going at Sam Bradford's mom, like, "Could you stop?" Like, I'm like, "Yo, it is her son."
Yeah, it's her son.
But that was the sleeves was the worst. He had the Dan Fouts sleeves.
Yeah.
Just was down to his elbow.
You know what was crazy for me to see Sammy? I remember when I first seen him, I went to a game. I forgot who it was. I think it might have been a division game. And he had the sleeves. But what I realized with him, he's pretty tall. His legs were like sticks. It looked like he couldn't be able to do squats or nothing. I was like, how the hell is this dude going to be able to sit in the pocket? It was crazy. Mm-hmm. I think it was the Cowboy game. We won that because of Jordan Matthews, and we went to overtime. He scored, and he threw it up. And then Chip Kelly said, if you do that again, you're going to go somewhere else. That was that game.
I'm trying to think of any other moments. I mean, we had Chris Pope, too. Remember Chris Pope?
Yes, I do running remember back. Chris Paul, yeah. Running back, 32.
Yeah, 32. I mean, we had Sproles. He brought Sproles to the mix.
Yeah.
Who's still with the organization.
He's a star, I mean, right?
Also drafted Lane Johnson. Mm-hmm. It was funny, the story about them trying to trade
BG.
Like, you could say whatever you want about if the Eagles would have won a Super Bowl or whatever. I always like to look at it. It just didn't work out. It is things happen for a reason, and they happened like they were supposed to happen. So I'm going to sit here and argue, like, yeah, the potential they could have won, but it just wasn't our time. The fact that the Eagles won the Super Bowl when they did, it just was their time. So, you know, it's a part of Eagles history. You could say whatever you want to say about what it could have, should have. It just didn't happen. It's part of the history. It's part of the legacy. You know, people will just, say what they're going to say. 2020 Vision says, Riley Cooper made me go watch that Crossing Broad video again. Yeah. I just think the part of where, you know, the part of the podcast where they're talking about how Chip Kelly didn't directly talk to his players that were, you know, it seemed like he might have been scared to talk to them. That's how they felt, and that's their experience, and they're telling how they want to tell it. But then they talked about that story about Rock Carmichael.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
Where they pulled him aside and they wanted him to be more presentable. So Chip Kelly's like, cut your hair. So here's Rock Carmichael, how he looked.
Damn, and yeah, ashy lips and everything.
This is, yeah. And then this is Rock Carmichael after the haircut. So, you know, still didn't get a lineup. It just, the edge up was not there. But he, I guess this is more presentable. But I mean, a hair, like, you can't really, like, if you don't get it, you don't get it. But you should listen to people of color talking about the situation, about being, what is presentable? You know, Riley Cooper had long hair. He had it down to his neck. If you have dreadlocks, is that not presentable? It's also long hair. It's also different cultures. And if you don't understand that, you'll have to explain that to you. We're not going to explain that to you, but if you just don't get it, you just don't get it. But I do think that was kind of like, that was very interesting. If you're looking at the black players in that locker room, looking at Chip Kelly sideways, you know, that's kind of, it is what it is. Shout out to Brendan in the building. In a cool tone, also says, so could you imagine if the Eagles allowed Chip Kelly to trade BG?
Oh, shout out to Jeffrey Lurie for, you know, saying something to Chip like, no, that's enough. Like, you already got rid of my core guys. That's enough. And for standing up, I mean, it was crazy. You know what was crazy was Chip was so infatuated about being dominance and being the only guy that you couldn't say no to, that he had Howie be moved into where the other side of the
marketing,
building,
the marketing,
in a marketing department, and wasn't allowed to go to practices.
That, which is wild.
That's wild. Yeah. But you want him. But you want him to. You want him to call other GMs to set up a meeting for a trade. What is that?
Yeah, it was definitely wild. I also think that's a page in Howie Roseman's book that tells his story. It made him probably hungrier coming out of there, that situation. The fact that we rebounded is a beautiful thing. And Cool Tone says Lane Johnson and Malcolm Jenkins are probably the best assets Chip Kelly contributed to us. Two quality dudes. Nick Foles too. Could have been Broncos country, let's ride. But he went went right before. Nick Foles put up seven touchdowns that game.
Kind of crazy. That game too. That Raiders game. Yeah, almost died that day.
This guy.
Yo, Raider fans is no joke.
Shout out to Anthony in the chat as well. Mir says Zach Ertz as well. Drafted Zach Ertz.
Yep.
Who is also Can we say Eagles legend?
Yes. Yes. He's definitely Eagles legend.
I mean, what is it? What is a legend to you? In terms of play.
In terms of a player, it means a legend. Legendary means you left a mark. You did something where 88% of us, 90% of us can't do. You left a memory. You left a mark in my mind. Like, to me, D-Jack is he's a legend. Cutting Dime is a legend. He's a leading rusher of Eagles of all time, bro. Like, think about that for a second. How many good running, great running backs have we had in the Philadelphia Eagles history? So many. That's why I tell people, we are as Eagle fans, we are spoiled because we always had a great running back. Think about it. Always. For Willie Montgomery, Dorsey Levins.
Was Dorsey Levins great?
But still, it was a name. You had a name, right? You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying he's a legend. No, I'm not saying that at all. Ricky Waters. Ricky Waters was my favorite Eagle of all time. And then when he did the whole alligator arms, my dad took my jersey away from me so I couldn't wear it to school. That was a wrap.
I still got my Ricky Waters jersey.
I have the reversible one. You know, the one's green, one's white. You can reverse it.
For who? For shout out to Josh. He says Nick Foles was an Andy Reid. How he picked. That was not Chip Kelly.
Oh, it wasn't? Okay.
No, this guy. Mark Cole's in the building. Ivan says, a position that leaves big shoes to fill. Which position is that? Let's see. Charlie Gardner, who was shipped off to the Raiders. He had a great couple years with the Raiders.
Great couple years with the Raiders. He's putting work.
Yeah, he's nice. 2020 says Ertz was a big time clutch in that Super Bowl. Third and fourth down, he was the guy. Vic said he was great in his rookie season training. Yeah, I remember when Vic said he saw greatness in Ertz that year. One player to pick out, he said Ertz. So I mean, overall, I just think it's it is what it is. We really just want to come on and talk about the podcast because I was waiting. So when 11 o'clock broke, I've been waiting to talk about this all day long. I'm like, yo, 10 minutes to countdown.
I know you hit it. He hit us up in the chat and was like, hey guys, make sure you watch this. I was like, and when I seen it was like premiere, I was like, oh, okay, cool. But it was a good watch. I will say that it was entertaining. Most definitely.
Memory lane.
Took
me back.
I missed that team. That's one of my favorite teams. I don't care what nobody says. Y'all can say, oh, we didn't win nothing. That is one of my favorite teams. Macklin, D-Jack, Shady, Riley Cooper, all those guys. Zach Ertz.
I didn't like Riley Cooper.
Well, I ain't gonna lie, though. He had a good year that year, though, bro, when Chip Kelly.
But I'm good, though. I'm good, yeah. The amount of Riley Cooper jersey has I had to see years after. I was like, bro, what are you wearing? Whoa, what are you still wearing a Riley Cooper jersey for? We had like interviewed this one girl. She's like, oh, why are you still wearing your Riley Cooper jersey? And it was her first year supporting the Eagles, so she had no idea the storyline behind it. Yeah. Tone says, I want to hear what Michael Vick has to say.
If you go back, there's an interview between the three of them. It's the three of them. It's Shady, D-Jack, and Vic. This is like, I think it was like our Super Bowl back in 2017. He talks about Chip Kelly. Gotta go back. It's back there.
Shout out to Evan Hollywood Herm. Chime in. He says, we're talking about a legend. He says, being a legend is simply having a collection of great all-time Eagle moments. Can't tell the Eagles story of 2010s without Deshaun and LeSean. And again, they don't actually make these for just regular Joes. Like, I've never seen one of these, a Jeffrey Mail.
I have a Macklin one. Have a Jeremy Macklin one.
I mean, there's a lot of legends. You know, there's so many different style of you could say Paul Turner's a legend in terms of Eagles camp for you guys out there. Shout out to Mark Bird in the chat. Susan said, I had no doubt about Chip. He ruined that team that year.
Yeah. Quick question, Gail. And I've never asked you this question. What is your Eagles Rush Mountain? So you got four presidents, so four Eagle heads.
Mount Rushmore.
What is your four?
Mount Rushmore. Of Eagle players?
Eagle players. Of yours.
I think you got Reggie White on there.
Okay.
I think you got Chuck Bednarik on there.
See, that's way before me.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, if he,
no.
me personally, like, if I'm trying to, like, you know, obviously Randall Cunningham, you know, Brian Dawkins, mm-hmm. I think right. Jason Kelsey, Nick Foles. You're like, that's too many players, but I'm just saying.
Too many players, but okay.
Because it's my Rushmore. I'm gonna put.
I get it. I knew you were gonna say that.
But like, you know, there's just so many. Like you can bring the older guys up on there, just but as a, you know, from a historic point. But
I like David's. I like David.
What?
Look at David's. His Rushmore is pretty good. Reggie White, Brian Dawkins, Kelsey and Foles. Like this.
David says Reggie White, Brian Dawkins, Kelsey and Foles. Yeah, Foles on there.
I guess mine's a little different. I got Eric Allen because he's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
I put Shady in there. I gotta put Kelsey in there. And
I'm a big
Jerome.
Yeah, I mean I'm a big D-Jax guy because he's one of those first.
D-Jax in my Rushmore. I love it.
From a scouting standpoint, that's when I first started like really getting involved in like scouting prospects. And I remember like being in forums, online forums, fighting for DeSean Jackson and getting cooked by random Eagle fan 875976 about why I was wrong. And I was like, no, this is where I'm right. And
hold on. Time out. Did you just remember the user screen name and all that?
No, I just made that up. But okay. We just the amount of randoms I had to speak up and confess my love for this prospect. I'm like, and I'm telling you, I don't care if he's 167, he's gonna be legit. Because there was one move. If you go back and watch his tape at Cal, he catches a punt return. And he catches a punt return as he's moving to the sideline, to the sideways. He actually does a front juke and then jumps back.
Oh, yes.
And I said, that is not normal. Uh-huh. I've been a punt returner. That kind of move signifies to me that this guy has next level twitch. And I've never seen anyone do it like that. What? And I from... That's what, like, nowadays, I've been doing this a while now. I can see certain moves that a player does, and it'd be like, that's different. I've never seen that before. That puts you in some – you see that kind of twitch, you're like, it's crazy. Sure. Susan says Shady was the dude. He was the dude. Shady talks about that time where – what's his name? Running back coach.
Deuce
came up to him and wanted to talk about his running style and he wanted him to change that. And Shady's like, that doesn't sound like your language. Like that doesn't sound like you. Who told you that? And he's like, well, coach told me. He's like, why doesn't he tell me that?
Yeah, and you know, another thing was, you know, you have leadership. You have guys that are that have these roles in your star players. Wouldn't you want your star players to have your back? So when your star players follow, everybody else follows. Because to be able to be a leader, you got to be able to listen. You know what I mean? Like, I just didn't understand it whatsoever, bro. Sean, no wonder why we didn't win.
Yeah, Sean says McFarlane figures of fire. I have got a collection. shout out to Tone Anthony, who sent the housewarming. You know, Josh says, is it crazy to me to put BG over Kelce on my Eagles Mount Rushmore? It's your Mount Rushmore, Josh.
Yeah.
So whatever you feel like. I mean, BG's he's a legend too, like a crazy legend, man.
Bro, one team, bro. That is unheard of to play with one team.
He was 54 too.
Yes, right. He was 54.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
So Josh has Dawkins, White, Foles, and BG on his Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
Now Susan says, remember the Thanksgiving snow game with major snow on the runs Shay made. I had the shady hurdle in the snow, blown up, framed on the wall. It was one of my favorite photos.
The best memory from that game was when DeSean Jackson caught it. He didn't know where he was at. He caught it. They were like, touchdown. He starts to make the snow angel. That was like my favorite. That was my favorite.
Evan said you said Rush Mountmore.
Oh, I did. Oh, my bad. I must have been talking too fast. My bad.
I tried to save.
Thanks, Ev.
Thanks, brother. Joseph says his Rushmore is Chuck Bednarik, Bethlehem native, Bethlehem Steel. Big part of his background. B Dog, Reggie, Fred X.
Oh, the people's champ.
Okay.
All right.
Remember when he caught that pass and he was like, About time. I was like, bro, okay.
I remember the braids, and then he had the mohawk.
Yeah.
Freddie was wild.
David says, Freddie Mitchell, the people's champion. Yes.
Yeah.
Portia, she has Dawkins, Cunningham, Kelce, and Cox because he's consistently solid.
That's what's up. I like that one. Respectfully.
Super good. Hey. I respect it. Everybody's got their own thing.
Shout out to y'all in the comments, yo. Super dope. Thank you.
Marcus says, check out 10 at Cal in college. Insane. And then let's not forget he was on the cover of NCAA football, EA Sports.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You gotta be doing something serious to get on the cover.
That was a great game. Sophomore. He was putting in work. He was a video game.
Now, Todd says, I'm not going to lie, Howie's working his way onto the Rushmore Mountain. Okay. I mean, yeah.
I ain't got a problem.
I'm not mad with that. Carl also mentions Ron Jaworski, Shady, Wilbert Montgomery. We met Wilbert Montgomery in Detroit. Took a photo with him. Great dude. He asked for some customs.
Oh, word?
For his son, and I was like, "All right, well, here's my number. Hit me up." Keith Byers hit me up. He was like, "Send me an email." I was like, "Yeah, send me your shoes," but he wanted me to buy the shoes. I was like, "No, send your shoes. I'll make them."
Yeah.
No, I love Keith Byers. I'm like, bro, that was in the budget. I was like, Keith, I still haven't talk to him yet, but
that's funny.
Oh, 2020 says the roast of Chip Kelly. Can you imagine that? Larry, Howie, JP.
Hey, that means they gotta put us on there. They gotta put the fourth and John Cox on there.
Man. Portia says wouldn't add DJX. He's a great player, but he caused too much dissent in the locker room. Noteworthy, but not Rushmore. Interesting. Chase says Rush Mountmore, tough crowd.
26.
Joseph adds, Gale, do you remember the 2004 NFC divisional game versus Minnesota? LJ Smith caught that trying to run in, and he gets hit, coughs the ball at Fred.
Yeah.
LJ Smith. We have a nice
what Smith. Happened to him, though?
Oh, man. I don't know, man. I don't even recall what happened.
It was him and Brett. It was him and Brett Celek, right? It was Brett Celek.
He was before Brett.
Yeah, he was before Brett. So Brett was 2007, 2008.
Yeah, we've had Torrey Smith in 82. We've had LJ Smith in 82. Now we have we now have Anaya Smith in 82. Yeah, I mean, people mentioned our thoughts on the pressures today. We are actually going to try and do another pod on that particular, because I got a lot to say about that. We got an in-depth analysis on that. This podcast is really just about the DeSean Jackson and LeSean McCoy. But I did enjoy the pressers. I've been watching a lot on Kellen Moore, watching a lot on Fangio, and just all the nuances of his defense. So we'll get into that for sure. But really just wanted to talk about this. I just thought it was therapeutic for me. I was like, I've been waiting to hear this for years.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, the next one would probably be from like, maybe like 15 years from now. What happened to the 2023 Philadelphia Eagles? That one needs featuring AJ Brown and KG. Well, my bad. I better not say KG. I'll get yelled at by Gale. Kenny Gainwell. And let's put Devontae Smith in
here. KG. I don't know anyone who calls Kenny Gainwell KG.
Same his initials.
Kevin Garnett, man.
He's Kevin real Garnett. KG.
Kevin Garnett. If we're gonna talk about something real, this trip to Brazil, shout out to Philly Sports Trips. This is gonna be a fantastic trip. If you want to go over and book a trip with them, you know where to do it. It's gonna be a great trip. First starting in Rio, and then we're gonna end up in Sao Paulo for the end of the trip. You know, 5-star resorts right on the beach. Make sure you check them out at phillysportstrips.com for more information. Make sure you talk to Vince. You can follow them at sportstripsphl and get information on this trip. I mean, it's going to be a great time. If you're going to want to see Saquon Barkley in the Eagles uniform for the first time, that's where you're going to do it. This offense is going to be insane. Just saying.
Yes, sir.
Just saying. We do not know the New Orleans date yet, but I will be headed down there with Philly Sports Trips.
I will be down there.
I'm getting around again this year. Just saying. Tone says, speaking of Eagle players, I bumped into Eric Allen last week at Dulles Airport. Oh, okay.
Super dope. I bump into him all the time. My favorite player, bro.
Yeah, never mind. I was going to say something. Tone says, nah, that 2023 panel needs to be Reddick, AJ Brown, and Slay for comic relief.
Oh, whoa.
Yo, they would go in.
They would go in. That joint will get burnt down.
Yo, is the schedule coming out May 15th?
I heard May 9th. Primo did say May 15th, so. I'm probably going to go with him. I think May 15th.
Is Primo in the chat?
Nah, Primo said that. I think Tuesday's pod. When we had the pod on Tuesday.
Okay. I mean, it's a big time. It's a big time for people. Yes, May 15th. And then Eagles Autism Challenge is coming up right around the corner. If you want to walk with us, you want to join us, let us know. We'll put more information out there if you want to walk with us. Robert said it was today. Heard it was today.
See, that's what I heard. I heard it was May 9th.
Word?
There's nothing coming out. There's nothing coming out, so I doubt it. It's probably going to be May 15th.
I guess
these teams, these teams are going all out for the schedule release.
Well, I got a tip. I know the Eagles are playing the Cowboys twice, the Giants twice, and Washington twice. That's from the sources. That's from the sources. But yeah, today for some reason today feels like a Friday. I don't know why. Let's see. Shout out to one before we get out here. One big shout out to Bud Light for holding us down for all these years at every tailgate. Get the Bud Light. Appreciate them. Also appreciate Concha Hawk and Italian Bakery. If you haven't had a tomato pie from Concha Hawk and Italian Bakery from Tina and the fam, I don't know where you've been at. And you can get those at a tailgate. It doesn't cost you anything. Just your attendance and an appetite and a thirst to tailgate at an Eagles game.
And then all we ask for a chance. That's all we ask for. Eagles chance.
Everyone's getting ready for that schedule to drop. I think you got to go to New Orleans. I would give you some clues as to who might be at that New Orleans Philly Sports Trips event, but I can't say. But this will be the trip together.
Yeah,
I know some other players that are supposed to be going on a Philly Sports Trips event, and we might have spoke about them tonight on this podcast. Just putting it out there. That L.A. trip is going to be fantastic. There's also a trip to Cincinnati. I'll be there as well. So, Sergeant Walker says he'll be at the New Orleans game.
Shout out to Marcus.
Joseph says, black jerseys of Brazil respect the soccer club's rule about their rivalry. No green.
Gail, please don't wear green, bro.
I'm wearing green, bro. I don't care about anyone but my Eagles. You know, that's all I got to say. Would, bro. That's all I got to say.
More white, bro. You don't like white jerseys.
I mean, I just
you got the Deshaun Jackson. See, you need to rock that game.
This is a great the Reebok quality.
I love the Reebok because it's silk.
The Reebok quality is like legit. Yes. Like this is better like
than Nike.
It's like triple. This is like quality. Yeah, look at the letters, man. Just saying.
I have mine right here. My Deshaun Jackson signed my jersey, but I haven't held that.
Shout out to Mark says. Shout out to Evan Prime and Hollis. Todd says they're going to be selling Gale's organs on the dark web.
Oh, don't
hey, say man.
Shout out to Todd. He said, "Hey, man."
All right, whatever.
Bro, the Reebok fire. I don't care what nobody says.
So you can't wear green because of a gang thing?
No, it's not a gang thing. You just can't wear green because of the rivalry of their soccer team that they play. So they take that real serious. That's what I'm saying, bro. Please do not wear green. Wear black or wear white.
Black in the summer?
Just wear white. Just wear white jersey. Don't wear green, please. As a friend, please don't wear green. Wear white.
Shout out to Jason. He's chiming in from Virginia Beach. Eagle fans from all over the place, man. It's great to see it. Yeah. Okay. Maybe I'll wear a black jersey with some chancletas so I don't get my Jordans stolen. Yeah. Anyway, you know, the amount of I'm getting everyone's like, oh, your shirt safe? I'm living my best life.
There you go.
I'm gonna be there. Carl's like, I'm wearing green. Hey.
Nope, stop.
We got you back. We got you back, man. We got you back. Before we get out of here, if you guys have any questions you want to throw up there, we'll answer those and be on our way. I just thought it was a great opportunity to just talk about the interview with Shady and LeSean McCoy. I thought it was I've been watching their podcast for a minute now, just trying to see how they grow. Definitely have that brotherly vibe going on. Good friends like to argue. I appreciate more Eagles football talk than the arguments about other stuff like LeBron. And I really, you know, I like to hear their takes on the Eagles.
Stories. I love to hear the stories.
The Eagles stories are great. Tremendous. I mean,
that's why I like listening to Hollis. Well, Hollis tells his stories. Love listening.
Hollis has crazy stories. I can't even share some of the stories Hollis has told me. And I don't want to be, you know, I don't ask too much, but I want to have. I have still.
We don't want to be fourth and Joan that night.
I mean, ask Hollis, DM Hollis, and say, hey, I need some stories.
Shout out to Hollis.
Anthony says, DI, thought need depth, good to go. I don't understand that question. Carl Smith says, why isn't Jerome Brown in the Eagles Hall of Fame?
Just due to the fact he didn't play that long.
But his number's retired.
His number is retired, but he didn't play that long.
Yo, what number is Jordan Davis?
90? He's not number 99.
Oh, for a second. What's his
name? Chase. Jordan Carr is 98.
Jason said, share some stories. Hollis, you know, like he took care of a lot of these rookies. I remember Trent Cole told me about how Hollis took care of the young guys. You know, there's those times where you hear those McNabb stories about him charging rookies at parties. Like he said that Hollis was a guy who took care of the rookies. So when Hollis is beloved, man, by his teammates. If you listen to Brian Dawkins, he was speaking in front of the crowd at the last event they had down at a huge event they had in the summer, the fest they had going on. He said Hollis kept the light in the locker room. He kept the energy going. So that was from Brian Dawkins. Let's see. How about we go last word before we get out of here. Tim, what's your last word?
Go Birds, man. Please don't feed into the negativity. Respect everybody's opinion, please, because there's going to be some people that don't like, you know, certain things, and because you said a certain thing. You know, at the end of the day, man, we all Eagle fans. Fly, Eagles, fly. And, Your boy is turning 39 this weekend. So yeah.
Sure. Which Saturday?
Saturday, May 11th.
Yeah. 39 in the Sabo class.
39.
Okay. All right. Last word, shout out to everyone in the chat. Appreciate you guys sticking around. Obviously, impromptu podcast. We want to get this off our chest. We will be doing another pod. Could be tomorrow, could be anytime. Want to talk about the coordinators. The coordinators, they had a presser today. Loved hearing what they had to say. We'll be going in more in depth about what they plan to bring to the table, coverages, the use of screens by Kellen Moore, the run game, more under center, yes. More motion.
Well, personnel.
Well, more motion. Now. There's a lot to talk about.
Two tight end sets.
There's a lot to talk about.
His directions. We're gonna get a lot. Kevin Moore. I'm
actually. I've been waiting to see this Fangio defense from the man himself, and not his disciples.
Right.
Yeah.
Same here. I'm really looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to shout out to Marcus for sending that. The formations, I think I said to you, you got some of it. I don't know, the language is different, but what I get off the base idea, basically what you said, was a 3-4 and then switching it. And so I'm excited, bro. Flexibility in positions, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, that cover six, that the quarters, the match principles, all that stuff. We'll be talking about it on the next podcast, but Just want to give a shout out to Evan Hollywood Hearn, who's going on a nice little vacation, enjoying himself this weekend. Shout out to Primo and shout out to Hollis. But we'll see you guys in the next one. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.